This week's parsha is Vayishlach, and it begins with Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim Lefanav Elei Sav Achibal Sasayes Deyadom. Yaakov sent angels or messengers, whichever way, they're both correct, incidentally. And the Zohar here. Amar Ababa, v'chilama metore Yaakov l'shloch malachem el Esav, alemutav haya l'shtok mimenu. We know that when Yaakov stole the stole, well, that's what the Esav thought anyway, and even from the Torah, it really looks like he did fool Yitzchak. But we already explained that. But in any event, we know from that Esav was certainly not his friend, and in fact said that the moment his father would die, meaning Yitzchak would die, that he would then come and try to kill Yaakov. And so the Zohar says, why is Yaakov sending messengers to Esav? Better that he keep quiet, you know. Maybe he won't even know where he is, and so on. You have to understand there's always a question. I mean, why shouldn't he? First of all, he's alive. First of all, he's alive, Yitzchak. And maybe he can make some overtures so that maybe, he can win over Esav and not wait that when Yitzchak will die, then, of course, Esav will have every reason to fulfill his dream and his wish for all these years to get rid of Yaakov. So why does the Zohar say Alimutav hu lishtok mimeno? Better keep quiet. Don't let your presence be known. And why arouse this feeling in Esav? Why not? Now's the right time. We'll leave that question in abeyance. But that's what the Zohar asks. Why should he send them a lot? You know, the messengers now. Umeshiv, and the Zohar answers, Ela Ama Yaakov, Yodeani Sheesav Charad Al Kvod Haav. I know that Esav is very fearful concerning the honor of our father. And he will never do anything to aggravate him, get him angry. I have nothing to fear from him. And now that my father's alive, I want to somehow maybe get him to forgive me, or that we have a good relationship. And therefore, Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim Lefanav. So the answer of the Zohar seems to be what we're asking, which is so obvious. What was the Zohar's question? Or what was Ababa's question? Why is he sending him an angel? We said, because we knew that it said before, that as Esav said, that as long as my father's alive, as long as my father's alive, I won't do nothing to Yaakov. And that's in fact, we might say, is the answer of the Zohar. That's the answer to Rababa's question. But what was his thought of why he shouldn't send angels? In other words, what was the question in the question, and what revelation is there in the answer? But we see here our person has to conduct himself. When the Zohar said it was better that he be quiet, fact, most people, you know, why rock the boat? There's an expression. Why rock the boat? Leave things as they are. Maybe they'll go away. Maybe they'll go away. And sometimes, in fact, they do go away. Meaning, his question was not, I mean, in the question, Rav Abba also knew that Esav would not kill Yaakov while he was alive. But sometimes when someone meets his enemy, he says, you know, let's forget about what happened and so on. Sometimes you even create more of an anger in the person. He says, not enough what you did to me. Now you're coming yet, you want to be my friend, you want to somehow make what you have done to me sound as if it never happened. I think that's what the Zohar is trying to imply in the question. It knew that, the Rav Abba also knew what the Torah said before, that Esav said that as long as my father was alive, I wouldn't do anything to Yaakov. But his question was that, you know, maybe it'll pass over. Maybe it'll pass over. Maybe he should give him more time. It's like we think maybe many times, you know, let it ride. Maybe it'll go away. And I think the Zohar's answer is, and it's to teach us, that things don't go away. We would like them to go away, and in our wishful thinking, we would like that whatever is going on, wherever it's going on between ourselves and something else, maybe it'll go away. Maybe it'll go away. What he's saying is that everything—that's the answer of the Zohar, the way I see it—that everything has to be addressed. Everything has to be addressed. If there's a problem, you can't say, "Well, I won't deal with it today, I'll deal with it tomorrow," thinking that maybe the problem will go away. Problems do not go away. This problem of Esav, tells us the Zohar, would not go away. Problems don't go away. Sometimes they say, time is a good healer. Time is a good healer. That was the question of the Zohar. Time is a healer. So maybe this might be the case. So why does he have to bring it up? Maybe in time he'll forget. But when the Zohar answers, what he answers, is he telling us that time is not a healer? That time is not a healer? And that's what he's saying. Well, so what do we mean by the expression, time is a healer? No, give it time. Give it time. What we're saying, give it time, is we're assuming that the problem leaves. The problem never leaves. The problem never leaves, says the Zohar. The fact that after a certain amount, there's no such thing. In fact, we don't see anywhere in the Torah that leave things alone, even in the Talmud. Don't deal with things. It's never the case. Whatever comes up has to be dealt with. It has to be dealt with. No one is saying it should be dealt with in a harsh way or in a kind way. But things don't go away. And many times we tend to procrastinate. Maybe. But they don't go away. They don't go away. So therefore he felt that the problem will not go away, and therefore he should deal with it. Then the Zohar says, he brings us insofar as Yaakov is concerned. Because Yaakov, later it says that he's going to treat him like he is the servant to Esav, etc., etc. Says the Zohar, Mi she'eino holech achar ha-yetzer hara. Whoever does not go after the Yetzer Hara, says, oh, what do you mean you go after the Yetzer Hara? You don't go after the Yetzer Hara? Ve'eina mitga'er klal. And he does not feel any gava, he does not feel any ego. On the contrary, umashpil rucho v'libo v'desono el hakadosh baruch hu. But on the contrary, like Yaakov did with Esav, that he drives his spirit and his heart only to Hashem. What does it mean, only to Hashem? Meaning that he himself feels incompetent. He feels that he cannot do anything. Yeah, if God will help him, everything will go right. If a person, says the Zohar, always thinks in that vein, ve'ina mitga'er klal, he didn't say, although we know that sometimes one should have gava, says the Zohar, never. Ve'ina mitga'er klal. What happens if someone, like Yaakov did in this case with Esav, az ha'yetzer hara mitapech liyot eved lo? What happens? The Yetzer Hara, what is Yetzer Hara? Satan, chaos, becomes a slave to him.
Didn't we learn today that Hashem has gava?
Right.
So how can Hashem have gava?
And what? Well, maybe Hashem can have the gava.
He's entitled.
But we? Yes, why? Because gava, we can have also gava, at which time, if I feel, what does gava mean? What does gava mean? See, I'm smart, you see, I understand so well, and I understand, the answer is, with all of our intelligence, and all of our wisdom, and all of our capabilities, and so on, in 1 minute, it can all be gone.
But God doesn't need gava.
So the question is, what do we mean by gava of Hashem? But over here, what he's saying, not only is when a person thinks, and he should think, that he does not have gava, and he should not have gava, but what he's saying is that when a person, on the contrary, restricts his ego and suppresses it, and he has no ego at all, then Yetzer Hara, which is chaos, cannot touch him. I'll come back to that. She'eini yochol lishlot alav, ulehefech. Oto adam sholet alav, kamo she'ato omer ba'atatim sholbo. But on the contrary, that when we subject our egos, our gava, not only is the Satan or chaos cannot enter into our lives, but on the contrary, we then have total dominion, says the Zohar, over him. I want to just continue. Pedusho kmo shemanu shuhu mitkabed et atzmo misalsel bisaro mitgei barucho. In other words, that he goes around and feels very confident. Ze Yaakov shehishpil et rucho lifnei Esav, kidei shela'achar kach ye Esav eved lo. That if, because he had subjected his spirit and his heart before Esav, making Esav think that he is the great one and he is the Eved, says on the contrary, that's why Esav became his Eved, as we will shortly discuss how when he comes Esav, the whole thing changes. V'yishlot alav yitkayem bo yavducha amim v'yishtachvu lucha le'umim. About, I think I saw it somewhere else, that that it says that God has Hashem Malach Geyut Lavesh. We say that in the prayer of Yom Shishi, the Yom of Yom Shishi. We say it on Shabbat that God has Geyut. You know, He has ego. What do you mean? How could we comprehend the idea of God being involved with ego? God being involved with ego. But the answer is what he's saying. The light force is the opposite of chaos. If you're totally involved with the light force, then there cannot be chaos. When a person says who he is, he wants to be Midgayer, what is he saying? He's actually, when a person does that, he's actually a fraud. I mean, while he may say, and everyone can acknowledge this person as being very intelligent, very wise, very knowledgeable, but nevertheless, in actuality, does he have control? Is there any control? With all of this knowledge, with all of this wisdom, does he have control? The answer is no. In one minute, he can suffer, chas v'sholom, a brain concussion, or so many things can happen. The chaos is now in his place of where he was, this great man in this great community. In one minute, with the light force, that can never happen. Because when you're involved with the light force, then it's not a question of, then you feel it. If you're really with the light force, then you know you're in control of everything. Then you are really in control. There's no question. Because if you feel that you're with the life force, and you understand that it's not you. It's not you. And therefore, geyut is appropriate. Geyut is appropriate. Because geyut means I'm in control. What ego says only one thing. I'm in control. I'm better than you. Why are you better? In one minute, you can be worse. Why am I better than you? I have more money than you. In one minute, the whole thing can turn around. That's why he says that when you do not subject yourself to that, then the yetzer hara or chaos then will rule. Where the other way around, if it's the light force, then what's wrong with geyut? What's wrong with it? Right. And then these messengers come back and say that. But they say, you know, that he's coming towards you and so on. But there was a part where there's no Zohar. There's no Zohar. And it says, after these messengers came back to Yaakov, they said, you know, your brother is coming. And you know, your brother, Esav, and he's coming against you. He says, we just went to him. It doesn't say what they told him. But it says he's coming with 400 people. And then Yaakov, Vayira Yaakov Ma'od, and Yaakov became very frightened. Became very frightened. And he began to split up his family. He divided them into one camp. He says, and if he should destroy the first camp of his family, at least the other family will be on the shalip later. Then he begins to pray to God that he should save him from his brother Esav and so on. Now how does he divide up this camp? Who is more important than whom? And we know in fact Leah and her family and the handmaidens, or Bilhah and Zilpah, the other two wives of Yaakov, it says here, and he saw that Esav is coming, and he divides up the children with Leah and Rachel, and he puts in the first camp the Shfachot, meaning Bilhah and Zilpah, the two wives that he had two children with. And then Leah, The Torah tells us that's what he does. Rachel bet Yosef achronim. And they will be the last. Does that mean that Yaakov had preference to Rachel over Leah? I mean, is this what it's talking about? And there's no Zohar, there's no Kitfei Ari on this. And, you know, I mean, if you're just reading it, it doesn't sound right. I could understand why he put Leah before Rachel. That I could understand. I could understand why Leah would be before Rachel, because Leah, as we learn later on, that's why Yaakov is buried with Leah. He's not buried with Rachel. Rachel is by herself. I mean, does that mean he was closer? But we know that Yaakov had reached a higher elevation when his name became Yisrael, and Leah was of a higher level, consciousness, meaning there was a greater degree of revelation of the light of God, and Rachel is down on the Malchut level, and therefore he wanted to expose Leah before he wanted to expose Rachel, meaning he felt that the light force of the camp of Leah would be a greater deterrent than Leah and than Rachel. But why he placed the Shfachot first before Leah? I really don't know. I'm just bringing this up because I don't know. I mean, the Zohar doesn't discuss it, and no one else is mentioning as to why this is so. But I'm just mentioning.
He put Rachel on the back because
yes.
She manifest the energy.
What?
Rachel had to be manifested.
Yes, and she's Malchut, and she also didn't have Binyamin yet.
Right. So she
I can understand. But why would he put the Shvachot before?
They had the energy, the power to
who?
To Shvachot.
Shvachot had more energy than Leah.
Because she had already finished her job.
Who?
In terms of the Shvachot. She gave birth to six sons.
And the Shvachot also.
Right.
So why would it be first the Shvachot, then Leah, and then Rachel?
She was a female.
Who?
She was a woman.
Who?
But Leah. She was the mother.
What
of
about Bilhah and Zilpah?
And they went first?
They went first. That's the part I don't understand.
They went first. Not
they went first. This is exactly what it says. He put the handmaidens, Bilhah and Zilpah, first with their children. I mean, you talk about his four sons, Yaakov's four sons, right? Ve'et Leah v'ladei achronim, and after the Shvachot came Leah, and then after Leah came Rachel.
Well, the children of those two wives.
The negative side. No, not at all.
I mean, negative,
not
at all. Negative. I mean,
no, it's Dan and
Naphtali. It's going to belong to the left column.
No, Dan and Naphtali.
Dan and Naphtali.
They're not left column of the certain side.
Dan and Naphtali, yes. Dan and Naphtali. Yeah, but so was Yehuda. Right, no, that's right. No, Naphtali was, no. In fact, Naphtali rules on Keshet, that's right. No. Yeah, it's a left column. Yes.
What?
But Dan is right. What?
Left column is Aryeh,
or fire. Is left column.
No, but Keshet is central column.
Who? Keshet is also a fire sign. Fire sign, but it's the central column of the fire sign. So it doesn't fit because the other tribes also have the same idea of negativity. I don't know.
When you want to fight the left column, Zohar says you have to use left column.
Two negative.
Yeah, but the four sons were not all negative. All four sons were not all negative. Okay.
That's the way you have the venom with venom.
What? Yes.
You only all the venom with venom. A snake bite is only neutralized by a snake bite, by venom. Snake's venom.
Or vaccine, yeah. That they should be at. Okay. All right. Then we have it says that Yaakov was left alone because Rashi says and the Zohar says that he had forgotten a little pot on the other side of the stream. The other side of the stream, and he had gone to, and he was left all there by himself, and he wrestled with a man. Adalota Shacha, until daybreak. And then it says, and the man that Yaakov was wrestling with saw that he could not overcome Yaakov, and so he struck him in the, thigh. Struck him in the thigh, and this man or this angel says, since the daybreak has come, send me away. And Yaakov says, I will not send you away until you bless me. And Vayomer Elav Mashemecha, and he says, what's your name? Vayomer Yaakov. He says, my name is Yaakov. As if he didn't know who he was wrestling with. He's talking about angels. Mashemecha. Vayomer Yaakov, and he says, my name is Yaakov. Your name should no longer be Yaakov, says this angel, but it should now be Yisrael. Now you have to understand that towards the end of this whole parsha of Vayishlach, in chapter 38, in verse 9, it says, "Vayara l'kim et Yaakov, od bevo mipad nadam, vayvorech oto." God saw Yaakov and he blessed him. "Vayomer lo elohim," and God said to him, "Shimcha Yaakov, your name is Yaakov. Lo yikare shimcha od Yaakov, ki im Yisrael yeshimecha, vayikre et shemo Yisrael." It says later that God calls him Yisrael. He says, "No longer shall your name be Yaakov, but your name should be Yisrael." And here it says, as if, and he's saying, I want you to bless me, right? And what does he say? What's your name? Your name is Yaakov. No longer Yaakov. Your name should now be Israel. I mean, is this his name? What is going on over here? And then what's happening later when God says the same thing? Your name is Yaakov. No more Yaakov. Now it's Israel. I mean, who's giving him the name Israel here? And why do we need this? I mean, if this is the blessing, because he asked him, I want you to bless me. How did he bless him? By telling him, now your name is no longer Yaakov, your name is now going to be Israel. But here, we'll go see what the Zohar says. Vayeva kishimo, and this man wrestled with him. And the Zohar says, Maya Vayevak, Rabbi Shimon Amar. min avak ba elav. Kamo sheka ektav lefanenu. Avak tafel elafa. Avak means dust. Now there's two Hebrew words for you might say for dust. You have avak, and you also have afar. Afar. V'sho'el ma bein afar l'avak. What's the difference between afar and avak? What is the difference? U'meishiv. Avak hu shenisha min ha'esh. Avak really means dust that comes from, let's say, you burn a piece of paper. Then you have ash. You have ash. That's also a form of dust. Yeah, it's also a form of dust. And then you have dirt, the earth. Avaku shenisha min ha'esh, kloma. Ma shenisha midvar ha'nisra be'esh, nikra avak. Bein oseh pedot li'olam. From that kind of dust, you can never have anything growing from it. But afa, hu shekol ha'pedot yosim mimenu. Vu klal ha'klo. Elamala ve'elamata. In other words, afar, Adam and Ishon came from afar. Trees come from afar. Everything comes from afar. But avak, and since the Torah is using the word avak, avak means that from that nothing can come. There's no continuity, is what the Zohar is saying. All right? What does the Zohar want to say? This is what the Zohar, because that's all he says containing. Well, we'll go into one more little piece. When this angel that he's wrestling with says, "Now that the morning star has come, daybreak, I have to leave." She'az mem shalta avra v'chalfa v'kachu la'asid lavo. What was he telling him here? He was saying that I have dominion over this time, but now that there's daybreak, I have no longer dominion. And says the Zohar, this will be for the future. Ki ha-galut dome ata la-layla. The galut, the exile that we're in, is just like night. Kloma. Shu choshech, it's dark. Va'ota avak sholet al Yisrael. And while it's dark, while it's in exile, what is ruling over Israel is this avak. This aspect of discontinuity. In other words, there's no extension. There's no continuity. Behem mushlachim la'afar. Achi yitala ha'or ve'ayom va'az yishlutu Yisrael. But when the day will come, then they will go out of exile. In other words, what it means is that the exile, what does it mean by the exile? What does exile mean? Exile means one thing, avak. It means where there is chaos, where there's no continuity. Again, no continuity. Anything that will come to an abrupt end is called chaos. We're born where health comes to an end. We earn a living, Chas v'Shalom, comes to an end. Life comes to an end. That's all considered in the realm of where avak is ruled. So what the Zohar wants to say is that when he was wrestling with him, it was Yaakov wrestling with chaos. And when he asked him, "What's your name?" and he says Yaakov, and he says your name, and he said, "Give me a blessing." It says no longer. It doesn't say here that he blessed him in any way. But what he did tell him, when he says that your name will no longer be Yaakov, he wasn't giving him the name. We know that Yaakov belongs to the lower triad. Yisrael is the level of Etz Chaim. The level of Etz Chaim. Over there, there is no dominion of chaos. Satan is not there. Discontinuity is not there. So when he was telling him, when he asked him for the bracha was that ultimately, the Jew, when he would achieve Yisrael, when he would be in that that ultimately he blessed him that he will become Yisrael. The same way is for the Jews, even though when they're in Galut, even when they're in Galut, and they're wrestling with Satan, they're wrestling with Galut. It means similar to the night, which is Galut, where then there is dominion of Satan over our lives. So when he told them to be blessed, he says, "I'm blessing you that you should move out of the realm of chaos, the lower triad, which is Yaakov, and move into the upper triad."
What's
that?
Why is he asking him for the blessing? From the other side.
Why is he asking him to give him a blessing?
Right. Why is he asking the other side? Meaning,
right. And not only that, he says, "Lo ashlachacha ki im berechtini." He says that I won't send you away until you bless me. What does that mean? He won't send them away. I mean, he has control since Satan only operates nighttime, meaning in darkness. Now it's daybreak. So now he's no, like the Zohar said, there's no longer dominion of Satan. So what do you mean? He says, "I won't send you away unless you bless me."
Right.
And why should he send them away? If he can control them, why should he send them away? If he can control them, he says, "I won't send you away until you bless me." The question of why he wanted him to bless him was not so much that he wanted him to bless him, but that in this way that he would, he was Esav, but the metaphysical counterpart of Esav. And the Zohar says, I was going to read it shortly, but all right, we'll do it now, that what he wanted him to do is to agree that the blessing that Yitzchak had given him was indeed belongs to me, because remember you sold me the birthright, and in fact I was entitled. But when he took away the blessing from Yitzchak, he said, "No, he stole it from me, but you had sold it to him." So he never admitted to the fact that when Yitzchak blessed Yaakov, that Yaakov was entitled to it, because Yaakov had purchased the firstborn blessing from Yitzchak. Now he wanted him to agree. And therefore he said, "Unless you bless me," meaning that you agree that the blessing that I had received from Yitzchak was a blessing that I was entitled to. That's why he asked him to say that. That's what the Zohar says. But the question that I'm raising, why to say, "Vayomalo Eshla," I won't send you away, to show us that even in Galut, we can have total dominion over him. Have total dominion over him. He says, "But now is not my time to be here." He says, whether your time is to be here or not, if I have control over you, then I won't send you away. And that's why he said, to indicate the dominion, and that's why he said he asked him to bless him. So in fact, the blessing was not so much that he was giving him the name of Yisrael, but he's always going to ask that question anyway, what I just raised. So what does it mean later, when God says your name will be Israel, and that. Now we'll come to that. So. Then it says that he limped in this wrestling with this angel. Well, the Zohar doesn't speak on it, but I'd like to bring it up. After the angel says that he blessed him, that he would be in the realm of Yisrael and not be in the realm of Yaakov, Vayishal Yaakov, and Yaakov asks him, Vayomer, Hagidin Hashemecha, tell me your name. Vayomer Lama, and he says, why? Lama Zetishal Lishmi, why are you asking my name? Vayvarech Oto Sham, and he blesses him there. What's Yaakov's question? Tell me your name. And what does he answer him? Why are you asking me for my name? Huh? I mean, well, is this a conversation, like we would have? Someone comes over and say, "What's your name?" You say, "Who are you?" I mean, what do you mean? I have to answer you who I am? What?
Not sure. Before
it's just a question that I'll get maybe on Shabbat. I'll answer because the Zohar does not raise this question. You know, what's this dialogue going over here? But anyway, in the morning, suddenly Yaakov finds that he is limping. He is limping. And therefore it says, Al-Kain lo yochlu v'nei Yisrael le'gidan Hashem. And therefore, Jews are not permitted to eat the sciatic nerve, Gidan Hashem. Ad hayom hazeh. Ki naga b'kaf yerech Yaakov b'gidan Hashem. Because the angel was able to penetrate Yaakov at the place of the thigh. Says the Zohar, Al kein lo yochlu begin on she. Bafil banasa, afil latet bekelev. In other words, you cannot have any pleasure out of that piece of meat that contains that nerve. Not even to give it to a dog to be able to eat. V'lama nikra gid on she. And the Zohar says, why did they give it the name gid, which means vain? Hanashe. What? At a place. That's what it means. It translated literally. Umeshiv kloma gid shehu menashe dahein madiach. Says the Zohar, it doesn't mean just at a place, but that this vein, is madiach. It may avodet aboram v'sham rovetz hayetzahara. This particular vein is the habitat, is the place where Satan reigns.
It's the longest nerve in the body.
What?
It's the longest nerve in the body.
The longest nerve in the body?
Top of the hip, down
that thing. Okay. Says the Zohar, V'kevin sh'amalach yitavek im Yaakov, and because the angel was wrestling with Yaakov, Lo masa makom begufo sheyachol l'gaber al Yaakov. He could not find any place in Yaakov that he could touch him. Ki kol eiverei gufo azro l'Yaakov, because every part of Yaakov's body was assisting Yaakov in combating this Satan. Ki kulam hayu chazakim v'lo hayata b'hem chulsha. In one part of his body was there any weakness? And the only place that Satan can latch onto is only in the place of where there is a lack, or there is weakness. Lack or weakness. Ma'asa, v'yigat b'kaf yerecho b'gidan Hashem b'mino. The only place that he was able to become connected, when it says v'yavak, he wrestled with him, meaning he became connected. He became connected in that place where the place of Satan. There is one place in the body where Satan has his home. Umisham ba hayesahara al bnei adam perush kaim shegid anashay hu mekomo shel hayesahara hu mino shel hamalach Satan aken u yafek kocho lachez sham. And therefore we do not eat, obviously, that vein, because when we ingest that vein, that vein being ingested in us is permitting Satan to have his habitat within us. What?
My question is the connection, because when Yaakov was born, Esav had him by the heel, had him by the sciatic.
Right.
When the angel fought with the angel, so the angel clipped the sciatic.
Right.
Okay, so from the beginning, it was already in the inception that the seed would be the sciatic.
Right.
There must be a connection.
Yeah, I yeah.
Yeah, but mostly because you said that Machalot, the
He speaks.
All the mahalas come from this nerve. Even the cancer, maybe the beginning something go wrong with this nerve. So, yeah. That is going to start in the body because there is the chaos. The chaos coming from this.
But Iris is asking, what about non-Jews? Are they allowed?
They're talking about this human being.
Let's see what the Zohar says.
Right.
Zohar says, "Ubnei Yisrael lo yochlu oto shehem einem misido umimino," because the Israelites should not eat because that is not compatible with them. Avla amim of the avodah zarah yochlu oto, they could eat it. Shehem misido umimino shel hamalach shalahem yichazek et libam, and it strengthens them. He says, "Of the avodah zarah." The Zohar says, "Of the avodah zarah."
Tell the Zohar about the angel, the boy that comes to Eliezer. I'll understand that. It's a beautiful Zohar.
Yeah, but what about here?
Because that's what it's saying.
Huh? On the contrary, it's strengthened. Meanwhile, what the Zohar says, on the contrary, when they eat, it strengthens them. That's right. He said, that's right. Over the avodah zarah, he didn't say umoto olam. He didn't say that. So he said, so does that mean that non-Jews who are not over the avodah zarah are not permitted to eat the sciatic nerve? We don't see that either anywhere. Although it is the Zohar who makes that distinction. Only the Zohar.
That means if Israel eats that part, it strengthens his own negative part.
Strengthens the other. Yeah.
That's right. Oh, Carol was just mentioning that once a non-Jew came to Rabbi Eliezer and said, "How come, if you look around, you're not permitted to eat this, that, sciatic nerve?" And the Jews are generally weak people. And we eat all these different things. We eat all of the things that the Torah does not permit Jews to eat. And we're stronger. How come we're stronger? His answer was because...
And also, you should be, if you're closer to God, you should be...
That's right. And if you're closer to God, you should... You should be stronger than the. I mean, it's like someone
favor.
who's a minister of the king. It certainly has more power than someone who's just outside the dominion of the king. And if we're really closer,
and you're being destroyed, and we're not.
And the third thing was how come you're constantly being persecuted and so on and so forth. So he answered. That the Jewish people, I have to understand it, but this is what he answered. He said the Jewish people are like the heart.
Right.
The heart is actually the centrality of the whole body. And we know the heart must, you know, is the one that the blood must be pure and so on and so forth. It's the nerve center of everything. So that was, he said the Jew must be so pure. And of course, at the same time, it's the weakest. Well, would you say that's why it's the weakest? It's the most delicate. It's the most delicate of all parts of the body. I mean, the fingers, the hand, the head, the skull. Everything is more gross than the heart, and therefore. And therefore, that was the answer as to why. But the question going back to, is it only Ovi Davodah Zarah? He said, but it says V'chazek Otam. I mean, what about the non-Jews in general? The Zohar says Ovi Davodah Zarah. On the contrary, because it's Mimbimino, it has an affinity with them. On the contrary, it strengthens them. Okay. ומשום זה ראה הקדוש ברוך הוא הכל ונרמז בכותב רמז ליעקב ויאבק איש עמו, היינו בכל ימות השנה ובכל עברה של יעקב, ולא מצא מקום לחזה אלא בגיד אנשי. And he goes on to say that that just like there are 365 veins in the body, so there are as there are 365 days in the year, that there's one day in the year, just like there's one part of the body that has the place where Yetzer Hara, and that's where we learn that Tisha B'Av is that particular day in which dominion was given to Satan to destroy. Left for the Bet HaMikdash, and everything was destroyed. All right.
But yeah, by the way, remember what they do? Is the Satma came up with a new thing, and they open up the Gidanashe. Remember when they check to make sure the chicken? We don't need it. We don't need the leg anyway.
In the leg.
The Gidanashe goes from the heel all the way, and the man all the way up to the back of the back right here. Okay. Yeah. Whereas in a chicken, it's probably just the leg.
They used to buy chicken leg and make it
super.
Yeah, but a chicken is
another. Yeah, there are some Jews
that won't eat the legs.
That will not eat the legs.
But you know something, a chicken has another level of spirituality than a cow.
That's why he can fly a little.
There are some people that say. So
he's on another level. The birds are on another level.
The Talmud was the one that said that a chicken is considered meat. Because technically, if you were to drink, I'm not saying you should do this, but I'm just saying, technically, if you were to drink a glass of milk and have chicken, it's not milk and meat. Because it's looked upon as not meat, it's a different level.
That's right.
Was this the left side?
What's that?
That was the left side that was struck. The left side of Yaakov was struck by the...
It says the left side.
What's that? I would say it's the left side. It doesn't say specifically. But where is it? Where is it in the animal? On the left. Where is it?
It's on both sides.
It's on both sides.
The nerve. It comes down both sides. Of course.
But here it says only on only one thigh.
Because you know what? Then it should have been the right
side. Huh?
I bet you it was the right side.
I don't know why I thought the right side. Maybe because I saw it once.
It has to be the right side because the left side. Be sure you shouldn't. Wait a second. Let me see.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't say. It doesn't say. It doesn't say. All right. Then it says that Vayishtachu Atsa. And Yaakov bowed down Sheva Pamim Ad Gishto Ad Achev until he came close to his brother. He bowed down. It says the Zohar Rabbi Elazar Patach, and Rabbi Elazar began by Amar Ki Lo Tishtachave Le'elacher U'makshe V'ki Yaakov Shuhu Abachi Shebe'avot She'nivcha Chelik Shalom Le'Kodesh Baruch V'nikarev Lo Biyoter. And he's asking, how could he have bowed down to Esav when it says you're not permitted to bow down to a strange god? How did he bow down? He knew who Esav was. Ech ishtachaveh l'oto rasha Esav. Shehu b'sad elacher. Umi shem ishtachaveh lo mishtachaveh l'elacher. And whoever bows down to Esav is like he bows down, just the same thing like by Haman. When Haman said everybody should bow down to him. And why didn't he bow down to him, Mordechai? Because it would be like he was bowing down to another god, a Ne'el Acher. Umeshib, says the Zohar, he goes even further. Lamada she'asu lahagdim shalom l'rishayim. And not only that, but you're not even permitted to give shalom to the shayim. Not even allowed to say hello to them. What's that?
Understand. What is the
it's a form of recognition when you're subjecting yourself to the person. Yeah. Right. Oh, but we know we're bowing down to God. That's permitted. But Esav is El Acher. He's called the other God. He's called Avodah Zarah.
The way I learned, so when you say Baruch, you bend on me and you say
Atah. Right.
And then you say Hashem, you stand up.
That's right.
Now, is it you're making connection to UK walking? You standing up?
That's right.
You did.
That's why we do that.
But when you bow down to something subjective, something negative.
See, like Esav is like an idol. Let's say there's someone who had an idol and he bowed down to the idol. That would be considered idol worshipping. The same thing here. Esav is considered as the portrayal of Satan, and here he was bowing down to him. Says the Zohar. Ela beru shel haKadosh Baruch Hu amar. Who is he bowing down to? We have to understand what he's saying. But meanwhile, he's saying, who is he bowing down to? He was not bowing down to Esav. Only that he was bowing down, he's really bowing down to Hashem, to make the connection with Hashem at that time. But Yishtachavu, like it said, but Yishtachavu Yisrael Arosh HaMitah, when he bowed down, it says he bowed down to the head of the bed, and Yosef was standing over there. And the Zohar asks over there, "V'chiliv no mishtachaved?" I mean, did Yaakov bow down to Yosef? Ella lemakom ashkina hayakoru mishtachaved. No, but he was not bowing down to Yosef. He was bowing down to the Shekhinah, which made its appearance. Afkan hu over here too, vuava lefnehem. It says. Now we'll look at this. V'hu avar lifneihem, and he went before them. Vayishtachu. Now what does it mean? Hu avar lifneihem. So he says, who is the Shekhinah? At that moment, the Shekhinah came to Yaakov because it didn't have to say v'hu avar lifneihem. Who went in front of them? It doesn't say who. So he says it meant the Shekhinah. The Shekhinah was going in front of Yaakov and the whole camp. And therefore Yaakov Amar, Ata yigi asha lishtachave al HaKadosh Baruch Hu shahoa shu haya alach lefanav. And therefore karahi lishtachave sheva pamim. And therefore, it doesn't say Vayishtachu le'Esav. It doesn't say he bowed down to Esav. It doesn't say that. Say it again. Vayishtachu alsa sheva pamim ad gishto ad echav, until he approached his brother. But here he's talking that he had bowed down to the Shekhinah. And therefore, he says, "Asher heim asidikim shekol maseihem shosim heim bishvil kvoda shel ha'bore." In other words, whatever Yaakov was doing, he never lost sight as to what he was doing and why he was doing it.
Well, it seems as if on one level he was breaking down his ego, and so we know that also when you bow down.
Okay.
Alright. That's the difference between Jews and the Arabs. The Arabs bow down 5 times a day, and the Jew bows down once 5 times in Yom Kippur. most of the time it doesn't break as easily. But in the temple, I bet you they did bow down when they prayed.
Only on Yom Kippur. What?
Even when the temple was built?
You're talking about kneeling.
Yeah, sure.
And bowing down now, you mean kneeling.
That's called really bowing down. Yeah, just acknowledging. I mean, here he was bowing down. He says, Vayishtachu Arza, to the ground. To the ground. Not just, bowing down. The reason we don't bow down anymore, only on Yom Kippur where we bow down, is because the non-Jew began bowing down that way to idols. So I'm just telling you why the custom of not bowing down anymore while we pray is because they asked, because the sages said that
we shouldn't
pray like they do. Okay.
Which means we should take off the kippah.
What?
Take off the kippah.
Yeah.
Take off the kippah.
Right. Right. Okay.
You're doing
your reforms here. Yeah? Jacob in Israel. Rabbi Elazar ve-Rab Yossi היו הולכים בדרך. אמר רבי יוסי לרבי אלעזר, בדי הוא מה שמעת שיעקב הבכיר שבאבות הוא כולל כל הצדדים, for he includes all of the sides. So the Ari says on the Zohar, he doesn't say it right here, the Zohar, but what does it mean that he is the inclusiveness of all of the avot, all of the forefathers, because everyone is included in the name of Yisrael. The Yud would be Yitzchak, of course Yaakov, and the Shin is Sarah, the Resh is Rachel, the Aleph is Abraham, and the Lamed is Leah. So this one name, encapsulizes all of the avot. What? Yitzchak and Yaakov. What's that? Rachel, right? The Resh is also Rivka too. Balken Karashimo Yisrael. וכתוב, לא יקרא שמך עוד יעקב, כי אם ישראל יהיה שמך. ויקרא את שמו ישראל, וקשה, says the Zohar, למה חזר הקדוש ברוך הוא וקרא אותו יעקב הרבה פעמים? והכל קוראים אותו יעקב כמו בתחילה. אם כן, מה הוא, זה לא יקרא שמך עוד יעקב. It says here that he says your name shouldn't be called anymore Yaakov, right? And then right after where Rachel gives birth to, which is just a few verses afterwards, it says Eba Yaakov Matseva al Kvurata. And Yaakov puts a matseva. Yaakov puts a matseva on her burial site. Where? What? Matseva, a stone. That's right, tombstone. Hashem just got through saying that your name no longer should be called Yaakov, but it should be Israel. And here, as well as continuing on. It always refers to as Yaakov, and then what does it say in the next parsha? Vayeshev Yaakov, Be'edus Mugurei Aviv, instead of saying Vayeshev Yisrael. Why does it say Yaakov? Amar Leh Shapa Kamran, and he answers him. Good question. Ava boare. Tiv ki gibo yetzei. Gibo haya tzarich loma. Ki ish milchama. Ish milchama haya tzarich loma. It says, ki gibo, you should be like a, you should go out like a strong man. You should be like a man of war. Why does it say like? Be a strong man. Be a man of war, meaning against the Satan, against so on. Why it says like? Why do you have to say like? Be that. Umeshiv elahare lamadnu havaya b'kol makom shehu hu rachamim bevaday b'kadosh baruch hu havaya hu shemo. Wherever it says the yud kei vav kei, it always refers to rachamim. When it says Elohim, the name of Elohim, it's referring to the energy force also of God, but it's coming with din. Whereas when the Torah mentions the Yud Kei Vav Kei, it's referring to the energy of Rachamim. Ani Hashem Hushmi. Ba'anu ro'im shelepamim nikro shemo Elohim shehu din bekol makom. Ela b'shah shemit rabin tzadikim ba'olam. At the time when you have many tzadikim in the world, shmo Hashem. Nikra b'shem arachamim, and they draw down the energy force of the yud kei vav kei of rachamim. U'b'sha'a shaharashayim mitgabrim ba'olam shmo Elohim. Then it's referred to as Elohim. V'nikra b'shem Elohim. Kach b'zman sheYaakov lo haya ben sonim v'lo haya b'chutz la'aretz korin lo b'Yisrael. U'k'shehoyo ben sonim o b'chutz la'aretz korin lo Yaakov. That's the answer. But it's not the answer. Not the answer. You're telling us why sometimes he's referred to as Yaakov and why sometimes he's referred to as Israel. But the question was, your name should no longer ever be called in the name of Yaakov. So he's going to ask that. Amalo, odadai lo yashev adavai. We still didn't answer the question. Shekatuv lo yikorei v'anu korim. You should no longer refer to Yaakov as Yaakov. The only way we should address Yaakov is Yisrael. Masha tova shebizman shaya bein asunim o bechutz laaretz. Korim lo Yaakov orei. Vayeshi Yaakov bad is mugurei avet, like we just quoted. V'hu lo haya bechutz laaretz. When it says Vayeshev Yaakov in the next parasha, Vayeshev Yaakov, he was not in chutz laaretz. He was in Eretz Yisrael. Umeshivlo, and this is his answer. Harayamati bitkila, kamosha gadish bocha lepamin nikra Hashem, or lepamin nikra Elohim. Now, Rabbi Lazar is answering him that you really didn't understand what I was answering. You remember I told you that sometimes we refer to Hashem as Elohim when we're talking about when Hashem is expressing himself in din. And when the Torah mentions the name of Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, the Tetragrammaton, then he is referring to the force of God expressing itself with Rachamim. Kein lepamim nikra Yisrael, lepamim nikra Yaakov, v'akol hu lefi madregot yiduot. Just like we know that there's a difference that between Yaakov and Yisrael. Verosh nikra Yisrael. And when we're addressing the head, we're talking about Yisrael. Ukshuhu vak belirosh, and when Israel is without a head, v'hu nikra Yaakov. It's called Yaakov, but it still doesn't answer the question. Uma shenema lo yikare shimcha od Yaakov, perusho, shelo yishaer b'shem ze Yaakov, Eliyu Beit Shemot, Yaakov v'Yisrael, lefi ha-madrega. What does he mean? That, not that he should no longer be called Yaakov, but that it should be Yaakov and Yisrael, because Yisrael refers to the God, refers to the, like we said, the upper triad. Yaakov is the lower triad. So no longer should you address Yaakov only as Yaakov, but it should be Yaakov and Yisrael together. But he's not satisfied with that. Amaleim Kain Are Katuv Lo Yekarei Od Et Shimcha Avram VeYeshimecha Avraham. Right? The same expression is by Avram, where it says your name should no longer be Avram, but it should be Avraham. Ve'ena peiru sheikru v'beit shemot Avram v'Avraham. Ela Avraham Labad. And over there we know it did not mean both names should be used, not only one name. But on the contrary, the name of Avram was discarded completely. And the only name that was he was referred to was only as Avram. Amalel Sham Katib Veheye Shimcha Avraham. Valkain Lo Nisha B'Shem Zeh. Valkain Lo Katub Veheye Ela Ki Im Yisrael Yehe Shemecha. Okay, he keeps on going this way. Still not satisfied. But all right, we'll step over.
Yeah, it must mean that when, and the level that he was at, when he finished with the angel, he was Yisroel, the first Yisroel.
Right.
But when he relates to the world of Malchut, so he's Yaakov. That's
both.
Why when he buries Rachel, he's Malchut.
That's right.
Before he's Yaakov.
That's
but
right.
When he leaves the sons of Yaakov, he's Yisroel.
Right. That's what he answered. But he said, so why, if it means both, so why by Avram? Is one discarded.
Because Abraham, when he became Abraham, he remained Abraham. Whereas Yaakov had different levels. He had the level of
he operated in two levels, where Abraham only operated on one level.
And Yisrael was Tiferet Yisrael,
right.
Which means what? When he motivated, when he acted on that level of spirituality, he was Yisrael.
Right.
But when he acted in the world, it says Yaakov was mourning for Yosef, for instance. Yisrael couldn't mourn.
It was, we said, how could it be that Yaakov knew, that, how could we say that Yaakov didn't know that Yosef was alive, right?
Sure.
The answer is, on the level of Yisrael, of course he knew. But on the level of Yaakov, Yisrael knew that Yaakov had to play out that scene. That's
the
way we answer it.
The name was used when he was called Yaakov, or when he was called Israel. But could it be that the name of Hashem was used different? You know, one was Yitzhak, another was Elohim.
The same thing with...
No.
What?
No, it's not. Sometimes Yitzhak calls Yaakov.
That's what I'm asking.
Oh, yes. Oh, you meant sometimes he addressed... No. He would address him Elohim and Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei,
right.
Both the same.
Right.
Yes. Yeah.
It's the level...
Yes.
The level that he's referring to.
Yeah. Yeah, two wives, two at the same time.